Welcome to VFN Radio. We were talking about God, and all of a sudden, here we are, boom, on the air live, coming to you from the Emerald Coast, shining the light and the truth and the hope, and hopefully a revelation of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, to encourage you today. We have so much to share with you, and joining me today is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one and only who loves to live in the cities of America, close to where all those wonderful things take place, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
All for God. All for God. And I will introduce to you our back scenes producer and editor and all that, but there's something I'll have to tell you about later on in the program today. Good morning. We're going to be talking about today, God. God, he's wonderful. He's in control. He's got good plans in store for you, plans to bless you and prosper you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. He is wonderfully marvelous. He's worthy. You're just going to be encouraged. Hopefully, they will get to share with you what the Lord made known to us over a period of 7 days of prayer and fasting and seeking him. Ministers from all around the United States that got together and began to discuss what is the Lord saying to us about ourselves, about our ministries, about our nation, about our cities, and it's just so encouraging. We're also going to be talking about drone technology. Should you be concerned about them flying over your house? Because they very well might be at 25,000 feet. We're going to also be talking to you about intercessors or intersuccessors. Understanding this ministry called intercession and living through it. And appreciating it. Wisdom moments, and John's going to be talking to us hopefully today. These things, we're hoping to get to all of this. Channels of God's love. Think about it. All the different ways that God can love us. Also, General McChrystal, he's going to be sharing things about budget cut and what that means to us. But I just found out as we're entering today's program that 65% of abortions taking place in America profess to be Christian women. They profess to be Christian women.
Wow.
Taking their child. Lord, help us. Help us appreciate life. Stop. Think about the future. Think about the throne room. There's hope. You should raise that child. There is hope. Dedicate your life. No greater love, no mother, than she laid down her life for her child. Even if its father is nowhere to be found, because Father God is a father to the fatherless. There is hope in God. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
How you doing?
Doing good. What happened to the dance and all the things, man?
No dance.
That's like that one on the iPhone years ago. Dance. Was that the iPhone dance they had going on?
I have no idea.
I missed that one.
It's Monday.
It was the first. It was the first one that they came out with. It's when the iPhone looked like an 8-track,
right? A brick.
Yeah, like a brick, like the first phone. I remember those first cell phones. I'll never forget. Well, actually, the first. Well, there was something different than that.
Oh, really?
My dad, you know, he was a county commissioner, and he had one in his car, and it was this big clunker screwed down to the middle of the hump and between the passenger and the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And it was like a regular, you know, dial rotary type phone. and you push the headset down and it just clunk into place. You know, kind of like clunk it and it lock into place. You pick it up and you say, who you are, and can you patch me through?
Are you serious?
And then she would go, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. You know, that was the dial tone back then.
Wow.
But, I remember those days. Then I remember, you know, can you believe this huge, this portable brick looking thing came out? I mean, it was like a little brick with a little antenna on it. We were so proud of it because I was a deputy back then. And I remember a friend of mine was a sergeant. You know, he was like the first one to get that phone. And man, he bought that puppy out everywhere. I mean, it's hard to put a brick in your back pocket.
But yeah, right.
And he carried it, you know, everywhere he was. But I remember I was on the beach once and working, and he came up there with that big old phone making phone calls, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Of course, we thought we were like hot shots.
Oh,
we were hot shots. Until I was on the road, and a county commissioner rode with me that day. Sometimes the commissioners, we really appreciated, the ones that empathized with us and came out. and rode with us or did something like that, and it was one of the commissioners. And he came out and rode with me, and we're, you know, I'm taking him all the hot spots, and I'm like, run for your life! Run for your life! You know? Laughing a little bit, having fun, you know. Here, here, his gun, right, his gun, shoot, shoot, shoot! No, just all those kind of fun things you have with people that aren't used to being on the road. And whatever you do, don't get out of the car. Lock the doors. Remember, you are not the police. You cannot grab a gun. You cannot defend yourself. And what happens, you turn back and look, and your person's riding with you is like out right behind you. Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Like, they're like watching cops or something. So anyway, so I'm just like, we're all pumped about these bricks and stuff. And then the commissioner's riding with me, and we're at this gas station. I'll never forget. And I know he did it. I know he did it intentionally. I know he did. He pulls this razor-looking, thin, like size of a quarter phone out that looked like an earplug. I mean, it's so small. And he pulled out and made a phone call on it, and I was so amazed.
Really?
I mean, it was like brick to that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how? Wow. You know, he was a car dealer back then, and he had lots of bucks and stuff.
Card or car?
Car. Car.
Car.
Car.
Car. Car. Car. Car. How do you say it?
I think car. It's like car.
Talking lot. Anyway, so he had a, what was I talking about?
Cell phone, thin cell.
You're more worried about how I said car.
I was car.
Listen to what I was talking about.
I thought he was gambling. That's what I heard.
What was I talking about? What was I talking about?
He pulled out that.
Pulled the big jalopy phone.
Why did he bring up a
car?
You were
amazed.
He said he had it in his car, I guess.
Oh, he had
county
his pocket.
County commissioner driving with you.
Okay, all right. Where am I? Who am
Monday.
I? Get me out of here.
Radio.
And he pulls it out of his pocket at this gas station. We're out of the car, a cruiser, and we're standing there in the parking lot. He pulls it out, and I was looking at him going, oh, I got to have one of those. That's a guy, right? A guy's going like, I got this great technology. I've got this wonderful TV. And all of a sudden, you're going like, did you see his TV? Did you see his phone? It scratched his back. I've got to have one of that. I got a word from the Lord. It's amazing, and the gadget thing. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me, you know, I don't know why where this is coming from, but I remember watching this. What was that that program about the fish? It was about a fish.
Flipper?
No. Wow.
It goes way back.
Flipper. Flipper. Under the history.
Nemo?
Oh, my. Yes, Nemo. Nemo, Nemo. Oh, and remember, Dory is trying to find somebody, some clownfish. And she has a short-term memory problem. And so she says, Dory says, I love this. She says, oh, I know. I know where he's at. I know where he's at. Come follow me. Come follow me. So she's just swimming along. And all of a sudden, of course, this clownfish is following her. And she forgot that she asked these people to follow her. So she begins to look over her shoulder or over her fin and begins to look back and say, thinking like, who is this person following me? She swims faster, begins to dart around. She goes, what's up? Ha ha. And starts doing these little karate chop things. And he says, what are you doing? And he's like, guy's freaking out. It's like, sometimes, you know, you just lose your place. Sometimes memory is short. Would you rather have long-term memory loss or short-term memory loss?
Probably short.
Really? Don't you remember your past?
Yeah,
right.
True.
We're gonna get you anyway on that one.
All right, right. You don't win, right?
Don't win.
Dear God, give me new memories.
I just don't want to repeat it. That's why I don't want to forget it.
Oh yeah, right. Well, if you did repeat it, you wouldn't know it because you couldn't remember it.
That's true.
Wow. So memory is good.
Yeah,
I think. Or? I don't know. What? What's up? CBN News reported this morning as they're talking about the anniversary, continuing to have the anniversary. You know, what's happening, pro-life groups begin to march down and celebrate pro-life, and then while others are celebrating pro-death, and Roe versus Wade 40-year anniversary, and that statistic, 65% of women who choose to end their child's life are professed to be, I mean, you think you wouldn't bring it up, but they profess to be Christians. Mm. And so you would say 65%, if that's true, be true, mm-hmm. 65% of the church's women who choose to have abort, 65% of the women who are choosing to end the life of their child are under the leadership of the current teachers and pastors. Mm. You know, what's going on? What are we teaching? What are we teaching that they don't that you know, granted, you know, things are going to happen and, you know, totally outside of our control. But the truth is, I mean, did we ever minister to them? Did we ever love them? Did we ever take time to be them? Have we created such an environment that they were numbers in a bingo ball being spent around, and they had no significance unless they were drawn, you know, for a particular event or not, you know, B4, you know, and that person pops up.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, you knew them since they were a child, and you spoke into their life, and you loved them, and you saw that boy or that girl, you know, coming towards that child, and you said something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to listen, but many people don't have anybody looking over them like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus says, when he came out of the mountains and he saw the people, all these things happening, he was moved with compassion. And the response is, you know, because he saw that they were sheep without shepherds. Mm. And so he taught them many things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the teaching that they would no longer be harassed and tossed back and forth and going through all these different situations if we would teach them and train them up in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's a family of God. Not a concept, not a program, but teach them the ways of God, because there's power in the Word of God, as we talked about last week. There's power in the gospel. There's power in God's Word. It's living, active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of thought and intent, even down to the attitudes of the heart. And so you deliver it as God gets you to deliver it, and that just penetrates their life and helps them begin to ponder, you know, is this the right way to go? And they're convicted. And sometimes people push beyond conviction and go right into the sin. But you'd be surprised how many people were just waiting for you to speak in their life. Just waiting for you to say, don't do that.
Right.
I
mean, how many people got married and they tell you 3 marriages later, I was just waiting for my father to say, don't do this.
Do it. Yeah.
Of course, the truth is, if he probably would have said, don't do this,
they would have done it anyway.
They would have done it anyway, right?
Right.
You know, that's why, as a father, you always go, man, you don't have to do this or not.
That's
right. You just run the whole story in the future. Yeah, I told him I was going to do it. He did ask me that. So listen. So yes, this is tragic, but the question is, what's over us that's bringing this lack of a desire to have offspring? What infertile spirit has dropped upon the church that even when we are fertile, we want to snuff it out? You know, even, I don't even know what the it was 1 in 5 couples in America were unable to have children. And that was a number way back. I don't even know what it is now. But it's like the church has gotten sterile. The church has gotten, I thank God for every soul that's been won to the Lord. But it's like transfer growth. It's transfer. I seen you in Baba Joe's church. I seen you in Sister Susie's church. I seen you in Brother Whoever's church. You know, this is not kingdom growth. This is migration.
Mm-hmm.
This is migrating sheep. And it's like, we can't look at what we're doing and say, you know, I got, and then what we do is we follow the newest fence, the newest gate, the newest doctrine, the newest building, the newest whoever stirring up things. And it's like, oh, that sounds exciting. We end up, it's like, what are we doing? You're supposed to go into the world, into the harvest field, and win the loss. And we begin to, anyway, and it's like, but there's no, that would be fertile. That'd be, if we did that, that means we would be fertile. If we help people get born into the kingdom, that would be birthing. That would be right. Birthing. But the problem with birthing, the same issue quite often with abortion, the issue is unwanted pregnancies, that it's an inconvenience. That's the biggest issue. It's an inconvenience. It's only like 1% is rape, 1% somewhere around there, maybe one.
It's real small.
And like 90% is unwanted, it's inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And children are inconvenient to yourself, but if you love them, then you love that. You don't mind people. Suffer not the little children to come unto me. I don't mind being interrupted by my kids. And all of a sudden, it's like the infertility that we have in the church, it's now we're seeing it, not only is it happening in society, but even the thought of being fertile. Even the thought of reproducing in the natural, even the thought of having a child come out of my womb and come into our lives and having to lay down our lives for our child is snuffed out. It's just snuffed out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how idolatrous, how much wickedness is in our hearts when we won't even lay down our life for the next generation. And it starts in the church where we're not, was it 90%, George Barna says? I don't know who says it. 90% of what is it? Of evangelism and winning.
Oh, yeah. You know, they say that, I think it's like, mine's going blank here, but I believe it's 95% of the church won't even lead one person to the Lord.
In their entire life, not one, 95% of professing believers will not birth one person into the kingdom of God. Mm. I mean, think about it. I mean, you got like 60 years. You can mess up for 60, you know, you got 65 years. Think about it. You can mess up for 64 years, and the 65th year you could have figured it out, and you could have done something for God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that measures out, because today everybody's measuring like fruit by gifts. And it's like, that's been an argument since day one. Secondly, Jesus said in Matthew 7 that I never knew you, even though you had that gift. You're not the gift.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I never knew you. And he says, our fruit is a fleshy substance that reproduces after its own kind. He says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and you continue to help them. Whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done it unto me.
Mm.
Love one another. Pray for one another. Lay down your life for one another. If you get hit in one cheek by someone, make yourself more vulnerable by turning them another part of your life that they can hit that too. Mm-hmm. You know, living in a way that you become all things to all people, that you might be fruitful, that you might win a few of them to God. And it's like, and so the world that people are marching streets today and saying, you know, this is evil, but the truth is, what have we done in the church? Are we carrying the kingdom in us and going out to advance the kingdom of God and birthing, you know, souls into the kingdom of God? Are we telling them about the kingdom? Are we watching the power of God manifest and saying, listen, the kingdom of God is near because the kingdom of God's in me, and you can make Jesus the Lord of your life and the kingdom would come inside of you. But, you know, you've got to be born again.
Mm.
You got to be born again. And so, but listen, the problem is that if you birth them, you raise them.
That's right.
And so you have people that are saying, like, they're winning someone, and then they run up there and throw them in this big, huge herd of a crowd who are like bingo balls at a bingo game being all spun around. And the only thing that can justify that is just a doctrine that says, hey, as long as they said yes, it don't matter what they're in. It don't matter what they're in. And they come back and they write letters. Yeah, I led 1,000 people to God. And you think, oh, man, that's really cool. And it's like, why are you here then? Because you led 1,000 people to God. You need to go back.
You should be busy.
And you should be working with those 1,000 people. I mean, at least, I don't know, two of them? You know, what are you doing? What kind of gospel are you twisting? Or what kind of gospel are you professing? You know, Jesus said, it's just like this. The kingdom of God is like this, that it's a man, it's called this, he calls it about the seed and the sower, that a man comes and he lays seed down in three different soils, on a path, on a rock, in the thorns, and on good soil. And he says, you know, one of them didn't believe, but three of them did believe. Mm. Only one-fourth of them actually produced and entered in.
That's right.
So say what you want to in the context of that. I think the biggest way that we can affect that woman and that man who have gone through all these things with no godly counsel, no, not being trained up in the ways of the Lord, and not seeing the fear of the Lord in us and living our lives, you know, in a way that's reproductive, that the way to change this is to go birth them in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Don't criticize her for walking into the clinic when you never told her about Jesus. You talk about him as a judge, but you don't talk about him as deeply in love with her and in love with her child.
Mm.
And that he has good plans in store for that child. I mean, she don't know tomorrow. She's living for today. God sees the beginning from the end. He's outside of time.
Mm.
But if we're not being reproductive in the, and come on, don't even say about it, because if if God was to put his finger on your ministry in the context of that is migrated growth. That is not people that were not walking with God, were enemies of God, who were not saved, who through your ministry, you know, they were born again in your ministry. They were migrant growth. And that's cool. We need strengtheners and lengtheners. Not, but the whole thing is that we should be disturbed. We should be disturbed. Say, Lord, I want to be fruitful for you. Mm. I mean, you know, we could be in a stiff-necked, stubborn culture, yeah, and all these things could be happen. But, you know, we're trying to birth. We're trying to conceive in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we're trying. I mean, it's like not, I mean, and you can preach all day long, but Jesus pressed really hard in Chorazin, and they said no, and nothing birthed in Chorazin, nothing birthed in Nazareth. But understand this, but if you're not even trying, you're guaranteed not to have a soul in the kingdom of God. Mm. So I really believe the manifestation in the world, what we're seeing today, is nothing but started in the church. And God has sent us all out to go and to be productive. He told us, matter of fact, from the very beginning, he says, go forth what? And multiply. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes you hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, yeah. Can't it?
Is God speaking to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, yeah. Abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10, says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, yes,
he cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John.
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been so enjoying VFN Radio on the weekend. Believe it or not, it is actually snowing in the Northeast. And
right now?
Yeah, it's coming down.
Listen.
It's coming down. So
how thick is it?
It's always nice when it's first coming down, but after a while,
I'm not a snow lover. Sorry, I'm just there's just not. Well, yeah. There's probably nothing. You know,
have you been in the snow?
I've been in the snow. Is it like a different snow? All it's not different.
I don't know if you've been.
No, I don't. I just don't. I don't. I meant. No, I just don't. I mean, especially in the city, because it turns to slush in like, you know, within a couple, because you know, everybody's driving to work, and I mean, you're seeing garbage trucks slide sideways down the road about to crash into cars, and you're seeing people, you know, hurt with the ice, and that just bothers my spirit. I see people with difficulty. I see people texting and driving and talking on the phone and looking backwards now.
In an ice storm.
And now in an ice storm on top of that, you know, it's just something about that. But, you know, to each their own. I mean, I don't see why you'd want so much pain in someone's life. Actually, Teresa sent me a beautiful, beautiful picture of a frozen lake. A frozen lake or was snow that, oh, snow had fallen down in the park. And she was abiding and spending time with God. I just want to give you a shout out this morning, Teresa. That was so beautiful. My goodness. Well, you know, when you think about these drones, and drones are like unmanned aircraft. Remember when you were a kid, when we was a kid, I guess, I didn't have one. I had one that was made of wood with rubber band.
What do you have?
My plane actually had a, it was like some little thin piece of wood that they kind of like shaved off a tree somewhere. And it had a sticker on the side of it, and it had a plastic prop, and you just, rubber band, you'd hook it to something, and you'd wind it real tight.
What are those?
I still love those.
That was my drone, son. That was my drone. That's what I had. And I would send that for surveillance. And of course, they would go at least 2 feet and it'd let me know what was going on. And I realized after a while that I could just look and see what's going on.
Oh.
And it just saved me all the expense of the 25-cent airplane that I was purchasing. But, you know, today they're a little bit different. You know, we have this is drone technology. I was watching on PBS. You know, you can watch PBS on their, they have an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they said. You know, this is what the drones are doing. The drones are, they fly over a particular territory and at 25,000 feet. And,
wow.
And I'm sorry, I can try to type and talk and that just don't work. And at 25,000 feet, they have cameras that are 8,000, they have 8,000 times resolution.
Wow.
8,000 times, that's down to the 12 inches. That's down to like 12 inches or something at 25,000 feet. So the people on the ground can't see this aircraft flying over them. So you think about it, at 25,000 feet, they are watching mankind. The cameras that are like 8,000 times the resolution, and some have lasers, and they point this laser at the particular person or building or car or wherever they would like to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they launch a bomb, and the bomb has a computer in it that just follows, and it goes right to where the missile is pointing. Mm-hmm. It goes right to where the missile is pointing. And so if you feel...
The laser, you mean?
The laser. If you have a little red light on your forehead, if you feel like... if somebody's bald head is reflecting some laser light, realize 25,000 feet up in the air, it could be a drone.
Mm.
And what happens is, it doesn't matter where that missile decides to fly at the beginning, it will look for the exact place that laser is touching.
Wow.
And, I forgot to tell you this. There's nobody in it.
Mm.
The person who's flying that over Iraq, Afghanistan, your state, over Afghanistan or Yemen or... They're actually in some small box thing that looks like a thing they put on trains. It's like an 18-wheeler pulls, that kind of size thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And they're sitting like your son or your daughter playing some sort of a PlayStation or Xbox, and they're flying that thing and killing people on the other side of the earth.
Wow.
And it's like, he's like, right? He's like, there's just something about this, you know?
This is not good.
You know, if you're going to kill me, look at me at least. This is like, you know, there's a day, it's like, you're going to be a man. You face me face to face.
Yeah, right.
You know, then we got tanks and guns and stuff. And now we just fly a plane over you and just blow a hole in the earth, and we just think that's not a big deal. 70, they credit, this is what the PBS reports, that Washington gives this report, that drones are credited for killing 70% of Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
Leadership. 70%. Remember the kill list they talked about, the news talked about, reportedly that on Tuesdays that the president would see a kill list of who the drone was going to fly over. And if you can go watch this on PBS, and there might be on the VFN Torch a preview video that they have there, you can see, and it'll show you all the drone situations that have gone on. Senator Ron Paul, he says that he fears that the future is thousands of drones flying over us and America, over the United States of America. Wow. I mean, think about it. It's 25,000 feet. Listen, sad to say, I know what it looks like at 10,000 feet. I know it looks like 10,000 feet. Hmm. Things are very small. I mean, could you see me when I was at 10,000 feet? It was a dot or
maybe a speck.
But it was a big plane. Now imagine being a drone.
Yeah.
A drone.
You wouldn't see it.
The biggest, not the biggest drone, but the second biggest drone's called something. I'll think about it in a minute. Predator. But it's the whole thing weighs as much as a pickup truck.
Oh, wow.
And so you know you couldn't see that at 10,000 feet, much less 25.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're counting the hairs on your head, waiting to see if they should put a beam on your head, a laser on your head, and you're just like, ooh, doo, 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 doo. Boom! It's like, right.
Gone.
Yeah, it's like, we don't want Satan to get a hold of this. We don't want Adolf Hitler to get a hold of this. Can you imagine, you know, going through and fulfilling the Quran, what it says? It even says, one day a rock will pull itself up and say, hey, there's a Jew under me. And they would put that laser beam on that rock, and they would blow it up trying to kill Christians and Jews.
Yeah.
And somebody that was loyal to Muhammad would. I mean, I'm not talking about people who decided to water it down. You know, I'm talking about Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many other nations today are building their drones and joining us. So we're not the only one with drones. Somebody says, I got a gun. It's like, yeah, but, you know, they just spied on us. You know how Russia got the first atom bomb? They put spies in America and spied out us building Enola Gay, that big, huge bomb that was built in the deserts. And they built their bomb by sending spies to us to find out. They probably helped us build it. And then all of a sudden they had it. Now we have the whole world armed with, you know, the nuclear power thing. Now imagine, is that my neighbor's toy or am I about to die?
You know,
what's that flying over me? Think about it. I mean, think about it. Think about that and they have like that's a you know the Predator is kind of like a larger drone, but you couldn't see it if it's flying 25,000 feet. But they have some the size of a basketball, and it's sending back intelligence. I mean, used to when coming from law enforcement, you know, criminals do a lot of things to be able to spy things out and determine things. But you know what? They could sit there and scan your whole neighbor after going to Google. They can actually then go drop their little basketball size flying helicopter type device and begin to just kind of go look in your windows of your house and go around your backyard, go fly over real quick, like to your work, make sure you're at work, and then looking in all the windows to see if you're there or not. And all of a sudden they just text a message to a one of their business partners, a hoodlum, and comes over and breaks into your house.
Wow.
I mean, there is no, what's the law that says you can't have a model size airplane and they taking surveillance? And it's just getting crazy, isn't it?
Crazy.
It's just getting crazy. And they describe that where we are today in the drone technology, today, we are like, it's equal to the technology of the two-wing aircraft, of the double-wing aircraft coming out of World War II. That's about how low we are, how much further we got to go. And we're already at 25,000 feet, you know.
Yeah.
Shooting
fun. Two-wing aircraft.
Yeah, remember the two-wing movie? That's where we're at.
Of World War II.
Yeah. That's where we're at. We're in the infancy of this drone technology, and everybody now is building their nuclear bombs, or not the nuclear bombs, but they're building their drones. Mm. I mean, Iran's reported to have a drone. They're going to, a drone, I mean, if you haven't been to Israel, I mean, we had some F-14s or something fly over us when we were in Galilee.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to pray or not. And the prayer room was at the very top of the house we were at in Galilee and Tiberias. And all of a sudden, two F-14s fly over about 2 inches above the house and just rock and shatter the windows. Like, not shatter the windows, but vibrate them. And we're like, okay, we're going to pray now. Now imagine a drone easily flying right over into Israel's territory, mm-hmm. carrying nuclear weapons. Not everybody, you know, missiles are like some kid. Remember the old big thing was kids like, I want to build me a missile. You know, I mean, it was water, fire, whatever it is. I mean, the missile thing, just shoot and launch, shoot and launch. Why not just fly slowly over at 75 miles an hour like America's drone, carrying a nuclear warhead inside this thing and just fly it right into something? I mean, it's like a kamikaze pilot with no pilot. Mm. And do it while you're sitting in your living room with your PlayStick and your joystick from your Xbox or your PlayStation, similar type mechanism. Mm. Church, we need to trust God, not technology. Not technology. Think about it. With technology expanding exponentially, and you got to understand exponentially, it's amazing. If you take a penny a day and it has exponential growth, at the end of 30 days, you have millions of dollars. Just a penny a day. The first day you have a penny. The second day you have 2 pennies. Third day you have 4 pennies. Next day you have 8, and it just progresses. It doubles every time. It's called exponential. I mean, you have like $1 million at the end of 30 days. Mm-hmm. Some people, you say, hey, I'll give you $100,000, or I'll give you a penny a day compounded daily. People go, dude, I want the $100,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then one person walks off with $1 million, and another one walks off with $100,000. Well, that's how technology is expanding exponentially. And so when they talk about, you know, where we are in World War II technology, it's not going to be long before we're going to exponentially think about this. At exponential growth, this is what they say. They say that in the next 10 years, that because of the exponential growth, I mean, think about it, no telling where we're going to be because technology is growing exponentially. That's what I'm saying. So this is what it is today. Now, if it's going to grow in the next 10 years, it's going to be 1,024 times more technical with more abilities than it is today. And just in 10 years.
Yeah.
In 20 years, it'll be 262,000 times more and wow. more abilities. It's like, you know, nothing personal, but, you know, I'm glad that I don't think I have a grace to be young again.
I know it.
I'm thinking, run the drone. I can't run no more, bro. I just can't run. I'm just tired.
Trust finished. Jesus.
You know, Paul had to run to a chopping block. We're just going to have to wait for the dot to hit us. <You're> right? Is that the dot? Oh, my God. I mean, think about it. No matter where you are right now, if the enemy got a hold of this technology, that no matter, you might be at your office right now listening. You might be in some park listening. You might be in your house listening. You may be in whatever. And all of a sudden, at 25,000 feet that you can't see, and a laser points it to you can't see, is directing something that's going to end your destiny, which you'll soon see.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. And people say, well, you know, and Americans so often, we're like, oh, but that's not Americans. Like, does anybody else, like the 95% of the world's population count? I mean, why do we always go, well, that's not Americans? Like, they're human beings. We got to be careful about this.
Right.
The fear of God, of understanding that we can't just go around killing people. I mean, I understand that there's a time to defend yourself and things going on, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. This is territory, man. This is some major territory. But just think about it. In 20 years, we'd be 262,000 times more technical with our drones, probably, which would be particles that are able to do things that could totally, you know, blow your mind. It's something mm-hmm. that's hovering up that's kind of sticks to your clothes or something. I don't know. Or gets in your bloodstream or I don't know.
Imagine it wouldn't even have to take that long, 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And 5 years is like, I don't know. But 10 years, I figured it out. So it'd be 1,024 times. 1,024. So you can imagine what 25 years would be like. And so it's bad now. You think, well, what's the hope? This is the hope. And this is a very important part. You know, what do we do as the church? We let technology submit to us. We don't submit to technology. We don't let technology take our freedoms. We have an American Constitution. We try to figure out how these technologies can fit in the context of the First Amendment and the Constitution. They don't limit the Bill of Rights that we have in the Constitution, mm-hmm. that we submit this technology to God. I mean, obviously, that it can be good, it can be evil. There's two aspects of it. But we have to realize that the original inventor of so many things, including the drone, did not invent it to kill people. And if you go to PBS and you watch that segment on the drones, He said, I did not. He started in the 70s developing this thing. And he got, wow. And he developed that Predator. And he said, that was not my original intent. And over again, you'll find out, that even the man I believe that invented gunpowder, that was not his original intent to kill people. And all these original intents, and it doesn't matter. We got to project and say, you know, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
And if it gets in the hands of evil people, then they're going to do evil things with it. We'll be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, or Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting five people in the virtual stadium. Or $100, that's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. You're listening to today's Monday broadcast. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about the drones. If you missed it, you got to go back and listen to it. We also talked about that, like, I think it's 65% of the women having abortions in America are Christian women, or profess to be Christian women. What are we doing? How can we? And you'll find out maybe it has to do with us being productive in the church. Maybe we need to begin to seek people being born into the kingdom, maybe win her to the Lord instead of trying to win her to morality, win her to Jesus, and let morality just come out of her life or his life.
Wow, that's amazing. So, so true. You know, we ended the first last break. We're talking about the drones and the military. And just recently, you know, Mike Huckabee had on his program the General Stanley McChrystal. Stanley McChrystal on his program, and they were talking
Is he a general?
Excuse me?
Is he a general?
Yes, general.
Okay.
Former retired general, Stanley McChrystal. He was the one that was involved heavily in Afghanistan. And they were talking about Martin Dempsey, General Martin Dempsey, who's a Joint Chiefs of Staff's most recent statement. Regarding the military and the Congress's inability, they're saying to get the spending right, get this budget right, because there's going to be major, major cuts to the military defense. This is what Martin Dempsey says, that this is the Joint Chief of Staff. This is the general speaking. And he says that basically this is going to affect operations, it's going to affect maintenance, and he says training will be absolutely gutted. He says ships are going to return to port. He says aircrafts are going to be grounded, and there could be absolutely a curtailing in major, major training. Mm. And it's like, this is our military.
It's like saying, we're going to remove your bricks on your house, then we're going to remove the sheetrock from your house, then we're going to remove the insulation from your house, and we're going to remove the shingles from your house, but we're going to balance this budget.
Exactly.
Have a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Mm. He says our readiness is going to begin to erode. He says within months we'll be less prepared, and within a year we'll be completely unprepared. And so you're seeing this.
So when would
life.
That be? So when would the year be? I mean, you know, we're here prophetically. If they're going to cut it like in 3 months, when they extend the they extended it for I'll go ahead. I can't remember.
It's in a few months. But this is what they were talking about, the sequestration. What's sequestration? What is all that? And the way Mike Huckabee explained it was that it's just blanket cuts across the board. This is no, you know, intelligent planning, not picking or choosing. You're just gutting the thing out and let the chips fall where they may. And this is not good. I mean, this is so – we're seeing the convergence of all the prophetic words that God's been saying over and over and over again. We're seeing a weakening of America. A country that can't even defend itself. And you got to ask the question, is America under judgment? I mean, what is happening? What's happening right before us? And, you know, the other way to look at, you know, is America no longer going to be that military superpower that it once was? There's a strategy to take this country down. But at the same time, what's happening with the church? I mean, how can we fight for a country if some of the church at large is not even willing to contend and fight for God's truth?
Yes, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, God, to do what's right. You're right. I mean, help us.
I mean, think about it. We're saying we're going to, you know, fight for our country. We want to fight for the Constitution. When I say fight, I'm just saying stand. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying stand for the truth. You know, stand for what's right. Because if
82% of us or 81% of us are not in the truth, we're not in the Word, and if we're not reading the Bible, you're telling me to stand, John. But if I stand on what? I haven't even read my Bible. 81%, according to George Barna, I hadn't even read my Bible. Nor did the one who says that they're ministering to me tell me I've got to, that I've got to get it. I'm not going to survive this thing if I don't.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of unfair?
Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, how can we? How can we stand for our country if we're not even willing to stand for God's truths? So if we're not even abiding, we're not even spending time with God. And that becomes a secondary issue. And it's like, we got to get our house back in order. We got to get our own spiritual house back in the place where it needs to be. And that's where we stop honoring God with our lips and we begin to honor God with our hearts. And we get back to returning back to the Lord, you know, getting right with Him, getting the sin out and abiding with Him, hearing what He has to say and doing what He tells us to do.
Well, you're right, and I'm looking right now at The Perfect Storm, and you can get to it at VFNTV.com, where John Paul Jackson put up what God has literally shown him is headlines. Mm. Headlines. I'm looking at the headlines of prophetic headlines. Like God would show him this newspaper, and it would have this statement on it, and God would show him this newspaper, and these things have come to pass. It was amazing how accurate they've been. And one of them was, and this is like 2008 and 2010 when these things are unfolding, but one of them was military cuts number of soldiers.
Wow.
And you think about it, back then, that was the last thing that would have happened. I mean, you've got to go see this. You can get to The Perfect Storm at VFNTV.com. It'd be good to be on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go to VFNTV at VFNTV.com. Go to VFNTV and watch some prophetic teachings. Begin to listen to what's happening right now. Understand that when God begins to do something, or he's going to do something, he will send people who heard what he's going to do, and he'll let us know before it happens so we can prevent it from happening by doing what we should have done in the first place, but we just put it off. It's called repentance.
Mm.
I mean, why would he even warn us if he didn't care about us? He loves us.
Right.
Why would he even send a prophet? And so when you hear the word prophetic teachings or the perfect storm and what God is saying, he's letting us know to prepare ourselves. You know, brace yourself.
Right.
Prepare for what's happened. Do what's right. You know, God told Cain, he says, why are you walking around so downcast? Why don't you just do what's right?
Do what's right.
Just do what's right. There they are with all that dread, but nothing to dread at all. There is something to dread if we're not walking against the ways of God.
Yeah.
But all instantly, it's the kingdom of God is a matter of a revelation, not relocation. It's not about you packing up your bags and moving somewhere else. It's about you packing up your sin and laying it at the foot of the cross and repenting. And it's a decision to say, I'm going to walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm at nuclear disaster in the high seas, is some of the headlines. Ocean temperature rises, spreading. Millions of fish dying. Blight in grains spreading. These are some of the headlines that are coming, those prophetic words. Chicago is up in arms. It's already boiling right now, coming up in arms, where this supposedly safe city. And you think about it, you think, why would the former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, go to a city and start leading it, and it's in greater turmoil than it's ever been before? Is what is on him, or what's motivating him, or what's driving him, or what intentionally or unintentionally, known or unknown, that he carried there, was what they want to reproduce in our country, to get it so rowdy. And I'm telling you something right now, I believe this is a prophetic word. He was sent to Chicago to make an example and create a storm, so that, and that's what they want. That's a picture of whatever Satan's wanting to happen in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more than willing to give them. Not everybody, but just Washington. They're willing to give us. And listen, he's a chief of staff. He fought to be mayor. He was helping run the White House for President Obama, and he goes from the White House after 2 years of service and pushing through the health care bill, and then he goes straight to Chicago, and you know, it looks like, based on news reports, that he used Chicago methods of politics to just make it happen.
Yeah.
It happens, and now supposedly we're here with all of his skill in Chicago. It's the scariest city probably to live in. It's the most violent. They have all these repression laws for guns, but yes, everybody's dying with gun violence in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it makes you want to go, is this what you're trying to do? Is if you got your way with America, is this the way that it would go?
Mm.
And so it's just interesting how the chief of staff would go to a city to make it worse than it was.
Yeah, almost immediately you remember that there were riots, and there were not riots, they were protests with the teachers, and just huge, just standstill. Nobody went to school. I mean, you just got there.
Yeah.
And one of his first initiatives he was trying to pass. Very, very, very interesting.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about in the extra hour today about, we just came off of a time of fasting and prayer, seeking the Lord, trying to hear what he has for 2013. Hear his voice for encouragement and direction and his wisdom. Just seeking the Lord. And we're not going to be able to share everything with you, but hopefully we're just going to have a conversation and with you about what the Lord said. It is amazing. It's exciting. It's encouraging. It's the best of times, and it's the worst of times. But understand this, that the Lord says that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And they follow one another. Listen, God wants to speak with you. You need to begin your abiding relationship with him. If you haven't yet begun an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, begin it. If you don't have a plan, go to iabide.org and request your free plan today, because you need to begin to abide with him, hear his voice. God, God wants to reveal his heart to you. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, he said, I wanted to, you wouldn't respond to my correction. You wouldn't respond to my teaching. You wouldn't respond to my direction. If you would have done it, I would have revealed my heart to you. But now disaster's coming, and you're going to call out to me. I'm not going to answer. Disaster's coming, and I'm just going to laugh. He says, but if you would have listened to me, listen, it's not optional. I don't care what religion's told you. You need to hear the voice of the one that you profess to follow. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.